Call meeting order.
Mr. Engel, would you lead us in the pledge?
Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic which stands one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Erin Armstrong.
Here.
Kathy Buckley.
Here.
Leonard King.
Here.
Dan Karaski. Richard Levine.
Here.
Ed Marin. Carol Bates.
Yes, here.
Pauline Stone.
Here.
Steve Trombley.
Here.
Devin Anderson.
C, resolve that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the agenda. Richard.
Carol.
And Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we have a few minutes for public comment. Would anybody like to address the board this time? Okay. Move on to superintendent's report.
Thank you. I have a few items. First, as I traditionally like to do, open with some good news items from around the district, and both of these items come from the elementary schools. Beacontown Elementary students and staff collected, I hear this number, 1,543 boxed and canned items as part of their Thanksgiving drive, as it were, that were arranged in six large gift baskets and shared with selected families in our community. The multi-age classroom, building 4-5, was declared the top producer, and it was probably heard a loud cheer when they realized that they were the top producers. And the building, of course, and Mr. Slattery will give them some kind of rewards as the next week or so approaches the holiday season. But we thank them, I'm sure, for their hard work, and we thank them for thinking about the people during this difficult period of the year. Not to be outdone, the Cumberland Head staff have been ringing bells, this is the staff members, have been ringing the bells as a voluntary activity during the holiday season as well. In addition, Cumberland Head students made tree decorations that were displayed on the trees as part of the Festival of Trees ceremony this year. That festival, of course, is sponsored by the Advocacy Center, Resource Center of Clinton County, and the trees then are auctioned off as a fundraiser to help support the Advocacy Center's causes. The participants were at the 5th Annual Night of Giving event where the items are auctioned off, and the students, I'm sure, as well as the staff at Cumberland Head, felt especially joyful knowing that their efforts produced such a nice outcome for everybody. So that's part of my good news for you. A couple more items. On Monday, literally feels like a month ago, but it was just yesterday, the district administrators and the supervisors and I received a presentation from representatives of MindEx, which is a company that deals with software products for schools, and their particular product is called School Tool. The presentation is very timely because we have learned that our current reporting system that we use for students, which is referred to, you might know as StarLab, or that terminology you've heard before, is not going to be available to schools in 2 years. So the signal through NERIC is that you need to start planning for a substitute for that particular system because it's not going to be available for schools to continue to use because NERIC's not going to support it. As a result, Gary, through good homework on his part, sat in on and went to a conference, a mini workshop conference, where presenters were there to get a leg up on, look at our product, we think we got a pretty good deal. One of those was this particular group. The group that we heard about yesterday was from School Tool, MindEx actually, but School Tool is their product. Administrators were asked to give feedback immediately, very, very positive reactions from our team. Lots of upgrades, lots of issues of speed and efficiency, a lot of things that as we asked the question, well, what about, can it do this? They said, well, let's show you, and they would do it right there on the spot. So it was kind of a wow session for everybody to recognize that if we have to confront that issue of a different system within 1 or 2 years, there seems to be at least one provider, and there may be others that we're going to listen to, that in fact could fit the bill for us. So the good news is we're not going to be left in a lurch. The cautionary news is those who get out of the box first will get the best initial service because this is going to affect all the BOCES in our area. All these school districts that use the same system are going to be competing for a different system. And I'm very appreciative for Gary to have arranged to bring the folks to us already, because that gives us a leg up on some of those other districts in terms of our time and their responsiveness to us. Dollars and cents, don't have a firm number on it yet, but the initial outlay suggests to us that it's actually cheaper than the one that we're currently using. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of nice, and why not, in technology especially, if the technology applications can be lowering costs but improving options for schools, that the timing of this is pretty good. So at some point, I'm not sure how soon, I would be coming back to the board with at least posing the question, how soon do we want to work toward a conversion from the system we have to a system of choice that we're going to be doing anyway? The costs, if the costs are comparable, it becomes not so much a dollar and cents issue for this year's budget, because we've already budgeted for the system that we're using. It becomes more strategic planning of when to do it, because there's a lot of overhaul, rollover of data that has to be done typically in a weekend or when no one's in session, holiday break, etc. And then, of course, there's the staff development training of all of us to understand what your new system will do for you. So a lot of that's, that piece of my conversation is a little bit premature. I don't really have a plan yet, because we want to hear another provider as well that Gary feels is a pretty decent one as well. But out of the blocks, our folks are pretty impressed. I think they're here to nod their heads in agreement with that one. It just did a lot of things that we've been wanting to have a system do and couldn't get the current system to do for us without a lot of time and energy. And there was just like hitting the keypad, and like presents were being unwrapped in front of us with our questions.
Did NERIC provide our current system?
Gary.
And will they provide a system replacement?
Yes.
And is that what we're looking at?
Yes.
There are currently four systems that NERIC supports, and the one that we saw was one of the four. And we're attending another demo on Friday of the third of the four that they support. So we will have seen three of the four, right out of the chute to see whether which ones are worth our time to investigate further.
Yeah. Thank you.
Is this going to go through BOCES, or is it going to be individual schools doing it? Is this going to be this new system?
You pick up on that question.
Currently, there are 30 school districts that are serviced by the Capital Region BOCES, mm-hmm. which is the umbrella that we fall under for this service. There are 30 districts that are using StarWeb currently. So there are 30 districts that will go through what we're going through. The migration of the data, the conversion, the training, all of that is conducted through BOCES. So that's a completely aidable service that they provide. So essentially, the only thing that we would be changing is one system, instead of paying for StarWeb, we'd be paying for a different system, and we'd be paying for the migration and training, which we'll have to do at some point.
Yeah, the migration is a one-time.
Right.
Cost of doing business to take all your data, and while we sleep, they convert it all to the new system. So that's a cost, clearly. We just don't have a price on it because we haven't asked for those kinds of specifics yet, except to know the first blush response to the estimated cost was that it very conceivably could be at or cheaper than what we're paying right now. So that was good news. So that's a stay tuned, just to let you know if we are, as we approach a recommendation, if you will, or a night to talk about it in detail, we'll bring with it a much better picture of projected costs, timeline, suggestions for implementation before we do anything with a decision on it. Again, we're kind of early, but we're in a perfect early spot compared to some of our colleagues. Facilities evaluation study, you have in front of you the information that we had asked from Tetra Tech that didn't arrive in time for it to be included in your packet. I will have you know that all of the administrators and supervisors have that same information as a result of our meeting yesterday. And so they've had a chance to look through some of the data in the event that there's any questions that board members may have. Or to ask about their perception on one item over another. Those who are present this evening can certainly take a viewpoint on that if you're so interested. And two other quick items, our treasurer interview update. Mary Blaine and I have, and Mary's at a conference, which is why she's not here, but Mary Blaine and I have reviewed the application materials. We received 10 applications by the deadline for the position of treasurer. And we are in agreement of inviting five of those individuals for interviews. And so that's where we stand with it. There are two board members already identified to serve in the interview team, so I can get you more information, obviously, when we put the packets together on who's coming in for the interview. But I'm happy to say we have 10 individuals. That's good. And the final item will be one I would anticipate I'd like to bring to the next board meeting, which would be a possible suggestion for some issues we encounter after school from time to time. Our school, as you know, being a large facility that it is, it's possible that individual students wander into areas where we don't have a lot of supervision from time to time. I know it's hard to believe, but it can happen. And when it happens, it raises, depending upon what the circumstance is, it raises moments of now what we do the next morning because of what we heard happen the night before. So the operations committee will remember that we at one time talked about the possibility of having after-school supervision of some kind, be it a study hall supervision or people that we aids, for example, teacher aides that we put on as extra hours to say we should patrol the hallways for a period of time after school is over so that we can kind of stay away from those targeted areas. I would like to bring to the next board meeting a proposal of how what we think we would need to accomplish that and a funding plan to make it possible as well. Because we do have some additional dollars, present dollars, available through different grant sources that I think would, without looking into greater detail, I'm pretty confident that we could present, here's a proposal, and it would be well within our current budget to accomplish that. So that's my alert, if you will. If you're okay with my planning to bring that forward, I'd be happy to do so. Okay, that's all I have. Thank you.
One question. On the tax return, yep. Everything in red is covered.
Yep, we're going to.
Okay.
Yep. Oh, and you did, if Diane, I apologize. I really, I would point out that you have an invitation in front of you as well for the next board meeting, which is on the 14th. And Cumberland Head and Principal Diane Fox have been very gracious in suggesting that this be an opportunity for the board members, be it the committee meeting, members that are meeting, and or the full board coming early, to join that building for a actual dinner of the menu that you see in front of you. And they're very gracious in talking about the planning for that, and very happy to invite you to do so. And we received our invitations earlier as administrators, but you and now as a board are getting your invitations as well. Diane, thank you.
Sounds good.
Thank you. Now I am finished on that. Thanks.
No. What time would the committees meet?
That's what I was just looking for, to see what I possibly had written down.
I think we had said that we were going to meet at like 5:30 or 5. Okay.
Does that sound good to you, Pauline?
That's what we were going to do. Right?
Yeah,
but
five.
We would be 15 minutes
but
into
I guess
dinner.
If you're going to eat at 4 to 5, do you really eat later?
My thought was we would not be insulted if you took your meal with you into your
right into the meeting.
So it would be buffet style.
You could take your meal and then go right into the committee meeting.
That'll work.
That work?
Yes.
For at least one committee.
What time do you want?
A lot less talking.
Yeah. Okay.
We'll have a meeting at 4.
At 4? And which committee are you?
That's the audit committee.
And Steve, your committee, what time do you want to meet?
5.
5?
So we have shift work on the turkey display.
We'll take our meal.
Awesome. Thank you. Mary Course is not here.
Move on to minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on November 9th.
Excuse me, motion.
Second. Richard. Second. Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Mm-hmm. B. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meetings held on November 9th to be the Audit Committee and the Operations Committee.
Motion.
Second. Kathy. Pauline. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Resolved that Superintendent of Schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CSE recommendations dated 11/30/10.
Motion.
Karen.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education the approval of the CPSE recommendations dated 11/30/10. By Richard.
Aye.
By Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Appointment. Result that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following temporary on-call appointment beginning on the date indicated.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following substitute appointment beginning on the date indicated.
Who's the list?
Richard. Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that superintendent of school recommends to the Board of Education to accept the unpaid leave of absence for Rachel Armstrong as an English teacher from 11/3/10 through 11/19/10.
Motion.
Second.
By Colleen. Who seconded it?
Carol.
Carol. Got a letter in your packet about that. Any questions about that? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the Board of Education does hereby approve the following policy.
Motion.
Richard.
Second.
Carol. This is the second meeting. Any questions on this? All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the Audit Committee.
Motion.
Richard.
Second.
By Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the warrant report for October.
Motion.
By Karen. And Richard. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the budget transfer report for October.
Vote.
Richard.
Second.
By Carol. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Result that superintendent of school recommends to the Board of Education to approve the following transfers over $5,000.
Motion.
Two of them here.
Second.
Motion by Richard.
Carol.
Second by Carol. Questions? A roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Stan Karofsky. Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Carol Reyes.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Drumley.
Yes.
Result that the superintendent of school recommends to the Board of Education to approve the tax collector's report from the town of Plattsburgh and from the towns of Altona, Beatontown, and Shazy, and also certifying our certificate of school re-levy report in the amount of $730,587.80, and that said re-levy report be returned to Clinton County by 11/19/10. So that tax may be re-levied as certified by the tax collectors.
Motion.
By Colleen. Second by Richard. Everybody understand this? Any questions on this one? Need a roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong.
Yes.
Kathy Buckley.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Stan Karofsky. Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Carol Reyes.
Yes.
Colleen Stone.
Yes.
Steve Drumley.
Yes.
The building condition survey last. Under other additional items, the Simplex rental for fire protection at the bus garage. You received the information in your packets on that. any discussion on how the board feels about?
Well, let me ask you one thing. The Simplex, is it mandatory or is this something that would be nice if we had there?
This is something that we were going to, I think, ask the insurance company if this was going to help us out. Dan, you know if we ended up doing that or Dane?
No, we haven't, but the reason why we made note of it is because it's been noted several times on the NYSER loss prevention as a recommendation, and that's what initiated the discussion on that.
But is it going to, it isn't going to bring the value of that building up. I mean, it's there, and as long as we're not going to get any kind of a fine or anything for not doing it or being rejected as insurance, is it something that we really want to spend the money on? Because the building itself is really at a point. Do we want to put more money into it until we find, you know, we're looking all the time there for something there to replace it with? So do we want to spend that kind of money is my question.
Well, my only thought on that would be the equipment that's in there. At any given time, there's a couple buses in there, I would think. Two or three buses in there, plus the mechanics equipment and stuff. I don't know.
How much was it again, do you remember? The cost?
It's not broken out either by the non-recurring cost and the recurring cost. It's pretty nice to have on there. The quote just kind of pulls it in, so it makes you kind of wonder, you know, what is it we have to pay every year versus the one summertime cost.
Well, you know, I remember we talked about it before in the operations committee about fire and everything, but at that point we didn't understand or we didn't know for sure whether or not we were going to be replacing the bus garage or not. So the point was moot at that time. Since then, we basically said that we're not going to be replacing the bus garage for a number of years. So when if you make a decision, you make it on, you're going to have that bus garage for at least 5 years, 4 or 5 years more anyway. When you make a decision whether or not you want to put it in, because we're not going to be replacing that building anytime soon. So you need to make a decision based on that.
Again, now, is it going to save us money? Are they going to give us a reduction, or is it just something to comply? I mean, as long as it isn't going to hamper us, that's the only part that I am. If there's any reason why it's going to interfere with insurances or anything, I'd say, well, then we've got to do it. But
can we get more of a breakdown on it? Like Ed had a very good point on that. We don't really know what's going to be recurring cost or not. So if we can break that down and look at it before we make a decision, because you might have updates and. That you have to pay going down.
I don't know what you mean recurring cost. You pay yearly.
Let Ed explain it. He's better than that to me.
Okay, so I just closed out the 1,000 square facility. We had a whole fire alarm system put into the whole system, right? Different areas, different zones, the whole bit.
Yeah.
And I'll get to say that it certainly wasn't 28,000. First concern. Second concern is that you have the non-recurring cost of building the system that gets connected to the phone. That also alarms the fire department and all that. And so with that comes a monthly or quarterly stipend to be paid. That's not broken out here on what the recurring cost is.
There's a yearly. Do we pay a yearly, Dan? You know, or pay a yearly cost for the dialer to the alarm company. My thought on this, I guess, is looking at it from a different aspect is. For $28,000 with two or three buses in there, the faster we as a fire department have to act on that, the better off we're going to be. I would hate to have that burning for a extended period of time before somebody sees it, and you're going in there with buses on fire and oil drums on fire and everything else when I could have known about it immediately with a smoke alarm. That's my only thought.
I think it's a valid point. It's a question of the breakdown of the costs, and how many, you know, and also, I mean, I haven't been involved in this, so I don't know if there was more than one organization that's been, you know, contacted ADT, Rachel, these other security companies that also do fire, and you know more about that stuff than I do, but do we get more than one bid, or are they all broken down?
Well, the problem with that is you're going to need to go with the company that's in with the main buildings where the fire panels already are. This is just going to be an addition to, and that Simplex has got all those. I don't think you would really want to go with a separate entity just for that one small area.
So is there any value in getting other estimates for the sake of having something presented at the table to say either you're doing this right by us or you're not?
There probably is. Is this going to get tied into the existing system in any way? I mean, we're going to use the same company for the alarm company that's going to get called into. So additional costs, I don't know. I've got to guess here, man.
Well, I'm under the impression this was just brought to our attention only to get a ballpark feel of what the installation of said system would be.
Yeah.
It does not necessarily imply that this is the system that we're purchasing, because we'd certainly go out and obtain more quotes and do it by board policy as far as bidding on the project itself. But it just gives us a ballpark feel of what it would be costing. I think the biggest decision here is whether or not to go forward with looking into whether to put the system in or not. But whether it's this particular system or not, this just gives us, something, a baseline to start with.
And would this possibly give us a cut in their insurance?
Well, that's something
we have. And that's more information that could evolve.
What's in there now? I mean, is now not sufficient and it has to be upgraded? Is that
not?
Oh, there's nothing in
there. We haven't put any money in it because we didn't think we were going to keep.
I don't remember. I don't know if this is something because it's for the bus garage that could be coded to transportation, and possibly the state pulls up their end, would provide transportation aid to the district. I don't remember whether exactly where something like this might have to be coded, but maybe we could check on that to see if it could be a transportation aidable expenditure. I don't know.
I mean, I don't think anybody's really against the idea. We just know the cost.
Well, and I don't
among think lots of other things that we have.
There's never been one in there, so I don't think this is something that has to be acted on immediately.
Right.
It typically does get paid for itself the monthly or the quarterly cost from the insurance side. Whatever you pay for it, it ends up being about the same reduction on the insurance side, so that part is good. But also, if it's an entirely separate building, there's no reason why it can't be a separate company, and that way you're not sole source to one.
Well, I'm sure it could.
Maybe get more than one quote. Maybe they'll give you a later price.
Of course. We're a business institution.
I'm taking notes, and I'm sure Dan and I will compare ours as well, so let me just list them. What I'm hearing, again, this was not an action night anyway, it was to do what we're doing, so thank you for that. Are there recurring costs with any system that we put in, and if so, how much are those recurring costs? Connected to that, or the rest of the question, will there be any savings by putting in a system of any, whatever the system is? Savings meaning from an insurance benefit or insurance liability issue, should we need to get a sense of that? That was a good question on my left. Can other companies be contacted? The answer is yes, we can do that. Just a notation that Simplex is the one that's currently tied in with all of the rest of our system, but that doesn't mean that the other companies couldn't be competitive and still be able to do it. And the last question I recorded, is there a possibility of getting transportation aid? We can search that question out regardless of your system to put in. And those responses I can bring back in an update prior to the next board meeting. And then we can decide if you want it as a resolution one way or the other on the board.
Sounds good.
Does that work?
For discussion.
Okay.
There's no hurry with that.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. You all received the letter from Dan and the packet for the building maintenance worker. Do you have any further questions on that? Dan's here.
The only thing I wanted to do is make sure that the board brought it back from operations, because I wanted the board to see what the statements were. I want the board to make the decision if we're not, because it's not right for three people to come back and recommend something without having the board decide.
I guess my question would be, what shift would this person be working? First shift where the majority of the staff is, or the afternoon shift where the head custodian is?
Dan, where are you looking for this individual to be placed?
I personally think it'd be more productive on the first shift. That's my own personal thoughts on that.
First,
Dan, can I ask you, how is the new supervisor maintenance person working out? Is there a
custodial?
By the custodial, yeah.
Oh, very well.
Is there a lot of maintenance being done, or is it?
There's much as you can possibly do right now, because we're still down three sets of hands. So that puts her on the floor actually filling spaces and doing cleaning sections, cleaning areas.
But is it sick leave there at the
end? We have a
combination of variables to go ahead and
I'll let you elaborate, but we have three people out on leave of absences.
Richard? If that's true, can we bring some help on temporarily?
The thing we're having is getting anybody to respond to our ads. We've continuously posted ads, and nobody wants any substitute or even temporary work.
We've tried repeatedly with advertisements to get more to satisfy our current workforce that's been diminished. This, of course, is above and beyond that, and we're having difficulty, if not impossibility, even getting subs for our current absent workforce.
I think we're a great school district to work for, so when that statement is made, it tells me that how do we compare the starting salaries or substitute salaries compared to other districts? Is that why we can't get response?
We're fairly close to Plattsburgh. I know we are. I think if you look at the paper and get the ads, there's custodians wanted at surrounding districts as well, substitute custodians. And the key word is substitute, and I think most people are looking for the full package.
Yeah, it's been a long-term problem, I'm aware of that.
I guess my last question would be, is there any, as we deliberate, is there any jobs that are be putting on hold because we don't have one?
Work not being done in this timely fashion, I think would be a fair.
Well, I was hoping to that, in the letter that I authored, it doesn't say that necessarily anything's getting overlooked right now, but it's only a matter of time before it catches up to us. That's what it is.
Some direction here.
Well, I mean, since we're just discussing it now anyway, I mean, I don't know how everybody else feels, but what do you want to do? You want to put it on the next agenda and vote on it? That's basically what you're asking for.
That's what we're asking for, yes.
Yeah, so I mean, then we'll find out, I guess, because then we'll vote. Because I think we have everything we need to know.
Well, one of the things I want to say is if we do put a man on, a person on, I'd like to see it go night.
That's my opinion also.
Mine also.
Evening instead of days.
Dan, your opinion would be more effective in daytime?
Correct.
Why do you say that?
Well, I mean, we can lay out a certain amount of tasks that need to be accomplished, but quite often you're limited by the accessibility of parts and materials. If you get involved into a project and you're like, hey, I need a 3/4-inch coupling to go any further on this, hey, you're stopped right there. And doing, day shift, we make the order, we go get the part, or send somebody to get the part, have it delivered, and the progress continues. Where we can lay out a lot of routine maintenance things that may be able to be accomplished at night. But yeah, I still see that there'll be a lot of idle time, that's all. And if we have them on during the days, we can better utilize them. Assigned task is
easier. There's nothing saying when we advertise for this. We don't have to advertise the shift, do we?
No.
It's at the discretion of the
I guess what I'm trying to get at is the board members have some concerns, you know, what are they, and what is it that you think can be mitigated by how this is managed?
Well, I'm not objectable in either direction. If the board sort of chooses to go with the shift, second shift, then it's still better than what we have. But I just see it being more productive during the day, only because we haven't really had any need for an afternoon maintenance person up to this point.
One a concern I have, Ed, is the fact that students are in the classrooms during the day. And if things need to be done in the classroom, it's difficult for a daytime shift. They got to either go in early in the morning ahead of the students coming in. That was just a concern I have.
And that's a legitimate concern because that does happen. And scheduling usually accounts for that, determining on a particular problem.
What about the radiators? I know one time we had people complain that the radiators, you know, because you have to replace the filters, not radiators, whatever. We have things here that have to have filters in their.
Well, that's what that afternoon maintenance position.
Yeah, so that would take care of that.
Take care of it.
So I know I lied. Now I do have another question. Because of what Karen said, you were talking low end, but I don't really think for you wanted, you want low end, you want better than that. What price range are we talking? Because from what I've heard, a just regular old maintenance person isn't going to do you the good that you want. You want someone who has more knowledge, right?
We don't want that, but we're limited by contract to what we can offer a maintenance person entitled building maintenance worker.
Right.
Unless we've
changed a lot of places, a lot of things. By changing two words, you can change the pay. But I'm saying, no, but I'm understanding if, say, I don't care. Say it's $18,000 to $20,000 for the one. What would it be for someone that could do what you want and does?
I have to research.
Okay, because what I'm saying is that, from what you said, I don't think someone on that level is going to be able to do what you really want them to do.
But are you looking for somebody with more skills, or are you just looking for another body?
I'm looking for somebody with more skills.
More skills.
But he'll take a body. So that's all we're given.
Let's start with what he needs first, and then.
Yeah, but I'm saying, from the last time and this time, I get the feeling that he wants something more. And that's.
So Pauline, what were your concerns about nighttime versus daytime?
My concern is that the person, that's why I asked him how his other person was working out. A lot of times it takes two people to do a job. He's supposed to be using 40% of that person on nights to be working maintenance. If this other person was there, they could work together and probably get a lot more done. Now, I know your night crew past experience, your night crew does not put out the amount that the day crew puts out, but it does get things done that you can't do during the day. So I still will stick with, I believe we should have a night person put on to work with this other person. I mean, when you get your custodial back, that person there should be able to work together with them.
Can they be bounced around from one shift to the other where they're needed mostly that week?
Well, I'm glad I don't know.
My thoughts were if it's agreeable with unions and staff, If we did decide to hire someone on second shift, have all the vacations, have the summer, where that person would come on days and work days with the entire staff.
Right.
And I know this is switching gears a little bit, but in listening to the discussion about the custodian, I don't know if any research has ever been done as to like how many people are out at a particular time, and should the district maybe consider hiring a full-time substitute where that person could possibly, I don't want to speak out of turn, but could possibly have the benefit of benefits, but fill in where they're needed to take the load off when people are out sick. And because I don't know about this district, but I think there's high incidences in that area of people being absent from their positions. So it's just a thought.
So is it a recommendation that we look for somebody that could be a full-time substitute
on whatever shift, wherever they're needed, and also looking for somebody who has some more skills to fill some of Dan's needs. Is that what we're saying? Are we looking at two positions here? Or what?
Well, it was a thought that maybe the district would like to look at that.
Right.
I don't know, you know.
Is that something you can bring us information
about? But there's two, really two different issues, because if you're right, one to take care of the problem.
If you're looking for somebody with more skills, we may have to go into the same thing we did before and do a bunch of rewriting of stuff.
Right.
Ask civil service what it's got to be. That's where we're going to end up.
Honestly, you're not going to get skills for the price range you're asking for.
Well, and that's the other thing. Are we going to have to change the price range? Or are we going to have to switch things around?
Before making a decision, we need to know one way or the other. If we think it costs too much, then we do, but we don't have those numbers in front of us. I'm saying, say you could get someone that had more, just to point out, say you could get someone who could do more for $5,000 more a year. Would that be acceptable? We don't know until we see, you know, the whole package, or if the board didn't want to spend it, well,
yeah.
Just numbers. Yeah. Numbers.
All
right. But Paul, say.
No, I feel the evening would be better. I've worked in a school for 16 years, and I've seen the staff during the day can just do certain things. You know, evenings to me would be the time where they could have, accomplish things more. I mean, during the day when the students are there, change the paper towels and this and, you know, that type of thing. But for any major, I mean, they can't do it when the students are in classrooms. They can't do it. That's the way I look at it.
Not everyone is here, but it may be someone's opinion that we're probably looking at tough times down the road, and do we want to start tightening our belt now? I think will come forward probably at the next meeting. I don't know.
But I think as he gets some prices in. You got a couple questions you want to know just before you're checking things out.
Just so I know how I'm proceeding. One thing that is always to be mindful of is with contractual language, regardless, the effect on who's left in the unit if you go above and beyond the agreement for a new position. That's not to be overlooked, just for what that means.
Right.
Secondly, a related question, so I know we're doing our work correctly, is if we're to present, if next board meeting, if that's not too early, a future board meeting, I can present, and Dan and I can present to you as a body, a resolution without a name attached to it, just a resolution to say move forward with these terms and understandings. That was what you could be voting on at the next board meeting. Then, if it was approved, then we go do the search for what we're proposing. Or that evening, you fine-tune the resolution even tighter to your satisfaction. But the critical question, and Dan helped shape that a little bit from tonight, is I'm presuming there's interest to move forward with a resolution, just come back with some more details to actually modify the resolution.
Right.
Would that be a fair way to represent that for everybody?
Right.
Okay.
And then the other issue would be if we want to basically hire someone to be a full-time sub, that would be a separate
different
issue.
Different.
That's totally different.
That would be a separate
position. That's
a
separate position. Yeah.
And it brings with it pluses and minuses,
yes,
as you can imagine. Some you've mentioned, and I'm sure there are others as well.
Right. And I don't know what the procedure has been in the district. If you hire full-time substitutes in another area that don't gain benefits, we have to be careful of what we do as a board trying to help the situation. We don't want to hurt ourselves.
I'll offer a quick analogy or comparison, if you will, even though it's a different unit entirely. There are districts, I was a part of a district at one time, that board and district chose to maintain what was referred to as a floating substitute for teachers. The idea was that person was in fact an employee at an agreed upon rate as a substitute, but they came to assignments knowing if they were needed to replace anybody or if they were there to be extra help for the team. The advantage of a full-time sub, now back into this unit, if it's the wishes of the board considered that avenue, then the advantage of a full-time substitute would be comparable to that model as I proposed it, which is they would know I'm not just waiting to be called because I'm not taking work some other place if not being called. I'm wondering why I'm not being called. I'm being paid. You could accomplish full-time substitute by saying maybe a different rate on this category, but you show up and you're either replacing. The understanding would be Dan would be calling for a sub. We have the sub.
Right.
Person's already here. That would be the benefit, if you will. And the benefit for someone who might be interested in that work is that they know they're coming to work.
Right.
5 days a week. It's just that maybe the negotiations is on the conditions for the work, the hours, the pay. Yeah.
And then maybe they have a checkoff list prepared that if they show up and everybody's full staff, well, these are your assignments, what you're going to do this evening.
That's it.
The extra
thing. That's right. It. It would, as we're hearing, there's three people gone pretty now. They'd be used, the person would be used pretty much like a, if we go this way, pretty much as a full-time regular employee. But there will come a time, ideally, where they're saying, oh, tonight everyone's on board. What extra can I help them with? But I'm coming to work tonight.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they have a meeting every day when they come in, told what the job is that day, so that's not a problem.
So I'll bring a resolution affecting the first option, and then we'll see if the conversation takes us into the second option for another time. Okay, thank you.
Okay, next we have, we've received a letter, should be in your packet from the BTA, requesting consideration on
two more
additional lead teachers.
From the elementary?
At the elementary level.
At the elementary level, yeah.
Which is what we had before, right?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Just by quick, if I could, quick recall, it's the letter is speaking to thanking the board for the appointment of the CLTs that were made already. That you may recall, we held up on appointing two more of the four that had been budgeted because there was some discussion as to whether or not the pairing of those two was going to get the work done as the association and we wondered about ourselves. There's contract language that says that math goes with one unit and ELA goes with another, and I was pairing them up differently to get the maximum benefit of only two people, one per building. This letter is the association's request to say the pairings are not as much of a concern as the absence of the other two people. And so I said, well, submit your rationale for it. And it's a discussion item that you've asked to have discussion on, so it's brought back to you for that purpose.
Comments on that?
Well, comment is when we made that contract, we put 14 people in there with the agreement that we would use the minimal amount that we needed when we formed the curriculum. Now, I think we've been running above the amount that we were really figuring on. We figured there, you know, 5 to 7, something like that, and we went 9 and we went 11, different things. So this year here, when it pared down, it was getting closer to what we wanted. Not saying that they have to decide what area is the most important. Otherwise, we're going to be back spending more money than we had before we made that decision there to start this curriculum.
We are.
So that's why I'm saying I don't think it isn't because it's not needed. It's probably needed in these areas at times, but there's all areas that are needed at a certain time. I think they need to decide, could be your director, whoever you have at the time, Mr. Amel, to make a decision of what areas are the most important and use them in that area for the year. But we're not planning on filling all 14 areas.
Well, you didn't put them in for this time. Is it working out okay?
It's November. This isn't really a. I think we're not debating the question. It's just an odd time to have a real firm answer to it. The CLTs as a group have not really, I've not called them. And I say I, and it's important that I just mention as a reminder that we do not have a director of curriculum and instruction. And one of the values of the CLT positions is they were carrying on some of the work. And I would call on whomever the number is to pick up more of that responsibility. Otherwise, it would be me doing all of it. and why have anybody doing anything? So that, having said that, they haven't really, I haven't pulled them together yet to set the kinds of activities that would tell us plus or minus that one building or the other, is it working? They're doing work. Those that we've appointed, they're doing work. If those who don't have them are waiting, that, to put it simply. We won't let curriculum initiatives suffer as a district. We'll find more time. We'll find more time to do it. It's just that in response to not having filled all of them the first time, the letter was drafted to offer some additional information to see if it would affect your district.
Well, are we planning on filling the director's spot this year, or are we going to hold off on it? If we're going to hold off on it, I would say yes, we probably could fill a couple more slots.
And that also is a question I shared, or excuse me, a position I shared with the association leadership that I anticipated might come up, that whether or not the recommendation and or desire of the board, based on a recommendation, was to fill it, could very well affect this issue. And so they're aware of that. And my response to them is the same one I've shared up to this point. We're coming up into December. I originally said I wasn't going to think about filling the position. I carry the report forward and get a better sense for myself. What have I got myself into in terms of taking on that? It's AIS responsibilities. It's a number of issues, and we're doing them. Joanne can attest to the fact it's a little busier in our office because we're doing that. So I don't have an answer tonight. That's why it's offered, brought forward as a discussion item. If put it very simply, making it simpler perhaps, if there is a condition for appointment dependent upon whether the position is filled this year or not, I can bring you a definitive position on that by the next board meeting, if it helps make a decision about CLTs or non-CLTs, extra CLTs.
It can be done at any point during the year that we would need it. If everything's slow right now and everything's working right, I can't see filling the positions just for the sake of filling them.
I think it's also important that we have a discussion on the director as quick as we can, because that's going to bear on the what we're going to do anyway. Because we had said before, we can only talk about things at the end of the month. Well, you're looking already, now it's the last day of November, so you're looking to the end of December before we're even going to talk about it.
Well, he's getting into it to see if he needs
November. We don't have a second meeting in December.
Oh, okay. Right.
And so, that's what I said in my earlier update, was I was recommending hold off. Do not expect me to bring forward a resolution to fill it anytime before the end of December, primarily because I'm now in it myself and kind of working my way through what's the demand and what's the timeline.
Well, sorry, I'm concerned. I understand both sides, but on this issue, I would say give the superintendent the leeway if he needs them to take them, because we already saved the money in the position that we didn't fill. So the money's there. So if you say in December, you're going, God, I'm dying, and you need them, well, we've already budgeted it.
Yeah.
So because if we have to wait for another meeting, you know, and you're going to come and ask, say, well, I think I need them now. Can I have them? Well, then you're going to lose another month. You know.
Pretty fast to fill them. I mean, we have the people that.
I'm going to throw a wrench in it, but all things being equal, resources, and I don't know if I keep it from the elementary mysteries of God, but aside of the subject of money's being spent here versus if they have the money to spend where they feel is more important, is this where we choose to spend? Or is this mostly beneficial for the structure and organization of the union? And I know it's kind of a touchy subject in the past, but if the administrators have the money, would this be the place where they would spend it in their educational program in elementary?
Certainly. I can speak to who else is seeing just in that.
You know, I always take the floor the minute you offer it. Actually, I was hoping you would ask me tonight. So I am prepared with just a couple of thoughts. Sorry, Mr. Amo. We started by reading the book last year, talking about 21st century skills. If you'd asked me 2 years ago when you started with the CLTs what I was going to do with them, I would have said, gee, I really don't know, but boy, I'll take them and we'll figure it out. We did spend the first year really figuring it out. Last year, many of the items, although not everything on their letter, happened in all the buildings. As I went through and checked off the things that happened in my building, a lot of those items were happening in my building. And we have embraced the 21st century skills that we've been talking about. We're looking at the district goals. Every administrative meeting, every faculty meeting, we're passing down what we're looking for, problem solving, group work, those oral and written communication skills. We're really focusing on those in the building. It sounds nice, it makes for three really nice bullet points, but it's a lot of work to turn your teaching from how we have been teaching to where we need to go. We also are looking at the elementary level of bringing in some level of literacy for our kids who are not making the cut. We have a lot of kids that are struggling academically, and we need to offer some additional support for them. What we have on our menu is not, as we walk through it, it's not meeting their needs. We still have kids that we're not meeting exactly what they need. So we're looking at some other opportunities that we have out there to help those kids be successful. So we have actually had this conversation with many administrative meetings that please, please consider filling those positions because we are ready. We have a lot of professional development going on. We've done a lot of traveling. So I speak for me, and I think I can speak for Matt, that we feel this is a very valuable position. It would be helpful for us as administrators, but also for our teachers. They have immediate questions. They have somebody to bounce it off. These people have been to some of the workshops we've been to. They just are knowledgeable and would be very helpful. So I ask you to please consider it. I know we're talking two. We'd be happy with one. We would take whatever you give us. We understand our job, however, is not the financial piece, but ask. We would really like you to consider filling at least partial for us in the elementary this year. Thanks for asking my opinion.
It wasn't planned.
She owed you a turkey dinner.
It wasn't planned.
Well, that's very good insight.
It was a good question.
What we're looking for.
Do you have some input, Matt?
Yeah, I agree with everything Diane said. And right now, we're really on the cusp of looking at what we do in the classroom and really changing it. And we have a lot of faculty and staff very motivated and going out of their comfort zone and seeking the staff development. And I'm not talking about staff development through CBS. I'm talking about out of town for some really national level conferences and some of the best people in the business. And we're doing that and people are excited. We're bringing it back and I would love to have two go-getters that are willing to kind of do the work and share it. Teachers teaching teachers, it doesn't get much better than that in terms of buy-in and implementation. And especially this year with where our structure is without the director of curriculum, I see it would be more important. That's my opinion.
Well, from the book, we certainly learned that not spending the money on elementary costs us much more on the second and later upper grade classes.
Just one question I have. I think I know the answer, but I'd rather ask it. If we decide to fill both positions, we're not locked in as far as a district. We're not setting any precedent where we would have to have this many in the future.
No, we're not. And that's really what Mr. King, I think, if I could jump on that for because of your poll, if you want them to do that. I think that was, well, the point that Mr. King was making very well is that the contract allows for it to exist. The contract also, with the board, also allows for funding to let it exist. So each year, all of those, any recommendations that I bring forward that are in contract are basically dependent upon a funding source to make it happen. So the answer, long answer to your question is the same question Mr. King had, an observation he made, is that it's coming up on December. This current budget has accounted for all of these positions. We haven't filled them all. And the question is, do we want to yet this year? It's not new dollars. It's money that is already in this present budget. Back to your question, the next budget development will be a signal to all of us as to whether or not that is to be sustained and how many you want for that.
I can only speak for Karen. With the fact that our director of curriculum has left the district, I would support these two positions at our next meeting or whenever I need to say that, I would support them.
Okay, am I picking it up right that the elementary would rather have the two positions filled than the director of curriculum? Is that what I'm... I mean, if we had a choice, these are the two positions or a director of curriculum.
No. I have a choice. I don't, I can't, you know, there's, they can speak their own opinion on it, but I have mine too, in addition or in spite of. Does that hurt?
So you're looking for the two and the director of curriculum.
I'm saying this year, the question is, if it's a condition that you need to make a decision on the CLTs, I will come to the next board meeting and tell you my recommendation, knowing that you've made it conditional. If you're not making it conditional, picking up on your point.
I didn't make it conditional.
Right, that's my point. Karen's question, issue is if the decision on the filling the position full-time or not, set that aside, given that we don't have that person now and for the unforeseeable future won't. She's expressed her personal opinion. I bring forward the resolution on that. It's just that I wanted to not confuse that filling the positions yet this year is additional money. It's already been budgeted.
It's already been budgeted.
We just haven't put people in the role.
Well, my opinion would be to fill the two CLT positions.
At least for this year.
Further, yeah, the rest of this year.
Me too, because... But just to say, when we talk about the curriculum director,
yeah.
I want to have a discussion on the jobs, what they're going to cover, and everything like that. And then we'll get a balancing. Well, what are they going to do, and what are the CLTs going to do? And then we'll know then.
How many do we actually
do? For now, I'll support the two.
I'm actually in support in filling the positions, especially without a curriculum coordinator.
Carol?
Yeah, me too.
Okay. Do you have anything else to add?
No.
Okay, the two reminder, we had pulled two off because of the way they were paid.
Right,
so
this is the
two additional.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
I just want to be sure I don't surprise the whole table with.
I thought it was only two. It would be four.
Two that you've already approved, but we just didn't. We didn't pick the people yet.
Too rarely approved. It's just that there was a.
Just want to be sure I don't confuse you.
We're just going to have a discussion again when you bring forward recommendation like
this. Yes. The two we have. Yeah. Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Next was quick. Richard, did you see the updating thing in the school colors?
Yeah, I did.
And the uniforms. Any other questions on that, or did anybody have questions on that?
My only issue is Ed put in that black and white are both neutral, and I don't believe black is neutral in the fact that there are teams that wear black.
Yeah, they're.
Now, I don't mind when you're talking shoes, I mean socks or something, I don't care if they're white and black going away. But if a team's representing the school, I feel it needs to wear our colors. Now, if someone wants other colors, then they petition the board. That if they want to wear black, then they petition the board, and then we, as a board, make the decision or put it out to the public to vote on, because I'm sure it's not something I want to do without anybody telling us what they want to do. But my issue is that it was done without board approval in the first place. That they were already wearing black before we knew it. I only found out by going to the game. So for 2 years, I was watching them on TV one day, and I didn't know they were our girls because I didn't know that we had black. So that is my issue, because now we'll be the bad guys, because we say, you know, to represent Beatontown, they should be wearing red and gray. Now they've already been able to do it 2 years, so now we're the bad guys.
Well, yeah, he said in there the primary colors are still red and silver, but it's
gray.
The black is even
silver. Yeah, I know, but...
So I put his responses in the back.
Yeah.
Red and silver, so... And that the black was more an offset type thing, but I did notice like a lot of the warm-up jerseys and stuff were predominantly black.
Well, now the school's selling black and red jerseys, warm-ups, which they can wear whatever they want for warm-up.
Yeah.
But, you know, then again, is that what we want to do as a school? If our schools are, I don't know any other school that has school colors and sells jerseys that aren't the color of their school inside the...
I don't know. Yeah. He also put something in that I wasn't aware of, that your home jerseys have to be a certain color by section law.
Yeah, section. If you don't wear the color, you can't play. So So that means if they're wearing black and we get to the sectional, we're not supposed to be able to play them because it's not a school color.
Yeah.
But my other question is, besides that school color, I think the board needs to make the decision one way or the other, because it seems black has creeped into everything that we have. We have two flags on top of the bleachers have a black circle with the eagle in it. Now you come through the doors, the rugs that are purchased have a black circle with an eagle in it. The coaches are wearing...
It's in black and white.
The coaches wear black hats. I don't know what the board wants to do. Do you just want to say you wear colors, or because it seems everybody's wearing what they want to wear? I mean, if the track team starts wearing yellow, are we going to complain?
Not expected. Anybody else have anything about the colors?
Well, I'm going to support red to a certain extent. I would hate to see us go out and buy new clothing because our team chose black or whatever. But I think our school colors are red and gray. And when we buy uniforms in the future, or we buy, this is my opinion, okay? When we buy flags or we buy rugs or whatever, our school colors, since I was here, are red and gray. And that's what I'd like to see it. Huh?
10 years ago?
10 years ago. Mr. Abel? Just if Dallas had spoken, and I was going to make that suggestion that because of the cost outlay that apparently went into getting these neutral colors, there would be an immediate cost impact to reverse engines. Perhaps the response to that I can guide the athletic director's purchasing plan is with the future purchases, begin that phasing out of the black-red and phasing back to the original black-gray colors.
Well, I don't think we spent any money on the black. Right. I think they bought it. But
I know about the hats and all that stuff. I'm not sure individuals. I'm not sure. That's why I'm leaving it.
Well, doesn't matter who buys them. It's school colors.
But the argument could be made, well, we bought them, so.
And I would counter that by saying, well, you presented information saying why you'd like to keep it going. You've had a board that's let you have a different opinion on that.
But you could just
please consider that opinion strongly before you make your next purchase.
Yeah.
That's all I mean. What else to say?
But you can't just buy colors because that's what you like.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, if you're
red because it looks cool and black.
I got to admit, black red does look good.
I think it's a very neutral argument. If you're going to be saying I'm representing the institution, then it's hard pressed to defend. But no, I am, even though my colors don't show it.
So my only issue would be, are you saying that we should let them keep wearing the black until the monies are found for new?
I'm suggesting if there's any cost outlay that went into what they're wearing, then I would agree with that statement Karen made and what you're asking. I would agree. Not in a hurry to revamp purchasing uniforms because...
Right. Not only that, parents have purchased whatever.
Yeah.
Then we don't want to burden them either.
But clearly, and set the tone for the future. Any and all of the future purchases don't involve these colors.
Well, I agree with that. The only issue is, what if we go to sectionals and we can't play because they're wearing black?
Well,
Mr. Knight, you have an opinion. You were coaching at the time that this started going.
Was that your color, Jim? Really? That's what I thought. Well,
this started going toward black. Was there a reason?
I can speak to. The cost advantage of using the two colors, which are considered neutral in buying uniforms, which are white and black. We purchased baseball uniforms a few years ago, and for our gray matching jerseys to match our pants, even though in baseball gray is a common color for uniforms, there was still a percentage cost more than to buy a white jersey. So I am aware that in other sports and ordering things, I guess in going solid gray or red, going to have to look at upping the budget because the cost for certain things will be considerably more.
How much?
What's important, about a third in regards to jerseys that are roughly $45 to $85 a piece. That's quality, and that's baseball, which are probably your high-end uniforms. I know I chose personally at the time to go with gray and red jerseys because I do agree in the school color idea. However, we came very close to not being able to get them, and I went through a season where I had to wear a jacket in 85-degree weather because we didn't have enough jerseys for coaches, and we made the state playoffs, and coaches must wear in baseball the same uniform as the team. Otherwise, wear a jacket. Mm-hmm. In regards to colors, I think most of the coaches, you know, are very aware of what the colors are. So in purchasing, you try to get bang for buck and make sure that the red and gray are distributed through the uniforms, but unfortunately for some uniforms, the white and black either undertones or the actual base of the uniform, it's cheaper. So it can be a cost thing.
Well, still the problem is, although it's cheaper, if you can't play in sectionals with it, what good are they?
Well, no, you can. I think that rule was, yeah, the jerseys have to be white. Is that it now?
They've from what I know, I think they've changed some of the rules in regards to color. I know baseball is about the only sport where coaches have to wear the same uniform as players.
Right.
But in regards to sectionals, as long as everyone is matching.
Well, that was the issue, because some had the Under Armour in black and some had Under Armour in white, and they had to go all one way or they couldn't use them. Because they said you all gonna look the same in a sectional. So I understand about saving the money, but if you save $6 on a uniform and you can't wear it in the playoffs.
Ed's got written down here on a sheet that our home jerseys are white, which is now a rule by New York State Public High School Athletic Association. Yeah.
Our uniforms for what?
Home uniforms home have jerseys. To be white. Home jerseys have to be white.
In every sport?
No, this was prompted by the volleyball. It started with volleyball, so I can't speak to whether he's representing all the sports.
Oh, okay.
It's a volleyball.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, because volleyball went to black because of
all
that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the home jersey has to be white. Okay. That's the rule for volleyball. All right. But then he mixes up some of the other schools. You know,
right.
He mixes in the other schools.
Karen, do you have something else to add?
I just needed clarification. Was the fact that you didn't have enough jerseys due to the fact the company couldn't provide them, or your budget limited you?
The budget limited. I can truly only speak to baseball in regards to the budget. But baseball has gone through a variety of changes over the years. And just the push, even though I'm no longer involved, the bats are changing again, which will drive up the budget considerably. That's basically what had happened. Equipment changes forced us to buy certain things. We relied on the Booster Club for certain things, but uniforms were necessary. And it was just a matter of where the budget was and what we had. And unfortunately, the cost of everything has gone up, especially uniforms.
I think it's a pretty easy fix.
Yeah.
We have school colors. If you can't afford to purchase them, come back to us.
We've got
to
add to
it. Or come to the superintendent. That's what I was trying to select what I wanted to say.
Yeah.
But I would like if it's something like that, then I think they should see the business administrator or the superintendent to see if there's help where.
Yeah.
And I'm sure that they work among each other as best, you know, as they can.
Yeah. And just so everyone knows, we're not against it. We're not against you guys, but when someone walks up to me in another street and goes, who's in black? And I say, I don't know, and there are kids. I feel pretty dumb. I don't know who they are.
Okay. All right. So we're going back toward the negative colors, and if it's a money issue, they just need to come
forward.
Yes.
Come back to what do I do about that?
Because if we're going to have the sport, we need to
buy what we need. That's...
Yes. Okay, thank you. Awesome.
All right, on to the building condition survey.
Do we have to?
I think you have a...
Just a couple of very short opening on this, and then Dan will have some comments to add, and then the work is yours. What you have in front of you is an abridged version of the larger document we shared with you in the earlier board packet. And it's abridged from the following points of view. I simply copied the cover of the original document and the second page that went with it, but I also made a notation with an asterisk mark to draw to your attention. Because when you actually start looking at each of the sites, you will see from time to time items that have an asterisk next to it. And I want to remind everyone what the asterisk means. The asterisk, as pointed out by Tetra Tech, is that the Tetra Tech engineers and architects have recommended to the district that this be a priority item. They're simply saying, from our point of view, if you wanted our opinion, this one would be a priority item for you to consider. They're not saying what year. They're just saying priority. So I wanted to copy that page so you wouldn't lose sight of the fact that if you came across something and were debating in your mind, is this important or not important? The asterisk may guide you a little bit. That's all. Having said that, the rest of the document, the reason it's abridged is because we did ask Tetra Tech to tell us, you as a board, which of the items would be Excel-aidable, as we understand the original scope of the project to be, leaving those that aren't highlighted, which is why you have highlighted packages in front of you, those are the items that they don't see being Excel-aidable. Why is that important? Quick, again, because in your decision process, knowing that there are additional monies left with Excel aid that don't require going to voters or coming up with those funds, could affect your decision process on which items do you pick to do with the Excel funds.
Do we know how much?
Mary's estimate was still hovering around the 1.5 mil, but that's without having a firm handle on any encumbrances that might be there. So I think comfortably one comfortably would be the ballpark. Probably more, but I can't tell you without her being here with her, you know, calculator going. Having said that, therefore, so what you have, if you just ran the calculator on everything that's in highlighted, it's way past that amount.
Okay.
My reason for mentioning it to you is that unless it has an asterisk by it, Tetra Tech is not suggesting it has to be done now, but all of these items would somewhere find a home in a five-year plan. And I'll close on one thing, if I could, and say to you that when we move from what to do with the Excel-funded items, when you agree on, you know, do those, what's left will then become the next step of the process, which is asking for our opinion, like, and we're happy to do it, or the board, again, another work session. So of all the items that are left, where would the, what would be year one to attend to? What would be the year two to attend to? We still have to fill out a five-year plan, in other words. And the final comment I would make is when you identify year one items, I'm going to be asking for understanding of a funding plan to pay for it. Because it doesn't do us a lot of value, obviously, to say, well, these are 10 things that we really know we want to do the year one. But as I develop a budget, the signal is, well, can't do them.
Okay.
That's always your choice, but I think that's part of the strategic process, to say, pick up what you think is really important to be done in year one, and then understand I'll develop a budget, assuming you want money factored into how to pay for it. So I'm done with that part. Mr. King, I'm sorry.
You said that everything in red here was Excel-aidable. Is this what I heard you say?
We asked, Dan, am I correct? I want to make sure. The question is, are all the items that are in red from Tetra Tech the Excel-aidable items?
Correct, with the exclusion of district office and bus garage.
Okay. Everything that's in red, has anybody did a figure to see how much it actually comes up to?
Well, no, that's what I was saying. I can tell you that if you added up all the red, it's a million plus. It's probably over the amount.
It's way over a million. It's
I just did an eyeballing of some of those items, and if you did them all now, you don't have enough money to do them all.
If we just did what Gary suggested, it's a mil plus. So, yeah, there's a lot more.
It just isn't enough.
There is so much going here in red that is... We'll never get through this tonight.
Well, it's a start.
Well, no, what we need to do like we did before. We need to do like they did for us when we went over there. They gave us this, and you needed to go. We need to go home with this, and you mark what you think is most important, and then come back and compare notes. Because we're never going to get through this tonight.
Well, we had the other one. Yeah, now that we've got the updated one, it's
well,
a lot
part of this, we didn't know what was Excel-aidable when we
at the time. That's right. And I was hopeful that you would have it in time with a couple of days' notice, but the Tetra Tech couldn't answer it. I will tell you that Dan and his department has taken a stab at these items to give you, if you're interested, some guidance either now or later as to what we would see to be the most immediate Excel apply Excel funds to get this done now. And Dan, I'm stealing a little bit of your thunder. Do you mind if I ask you what that total, your rough estimate of what that would be?
Well, I did it in two different categories. I have two different priorities, a priority one and a priority two. And the priority one, I broke it down in the other flag here. That Cumberland Headwood amounts to about 186,000, and priority one at the main building would be about $240,800. But that's just picking through the list of things that I've been identified, not only via the evaluation here, but also different issues that have been brought to my attention that needed to be addressed and prompted me to look at it as an opportunity to get that done.
If I could make a suggestion, that we start with the buildings first, you know, the...
I think we're going to the
main
elementary
buildings,
area.
Yeah, the elementary and then the main building, and then go to the bus garage and the...
No, well, that's what's not able. It has to have kids in it to be able. That's
yeah.
why the
yeah,
district
that's what I mean.
Office,
we start there.
So, I mean, you don't even want to look at the district office.
District office
you know,
and
yeah.
the bus garage aren't able anyway.
No.
And I don't know if anyone could answer this question, but I'm confused a little bit when I see code requirements in this document. We just completed a project not that long ago, and I'm just wondering if their code requirements, why weren't they in the last, what was it, 2007 maybe, or when we did the project, or 2009, maybe I have the year wrong. I'm just curious, or is it because the district was working at some things, so that they only had it? This pot of money they thought they could get approved, and they decided we'll do this and then we'll work at that at another time. Does anyone know the answer to that? Does anyone have any history as to?
Don Strong's probably the only one that could answer us on that.
I have some theories which are totally unsubstantiated.
That's okay.
You can make them up.
They are the following. One is, it's possible that the codes that were in place during that project have changed and that there are now new codes to bring something up to code. I draw on my own experience in another school district where not fixing something while you didn't do anything to the building was perfectly fine. But the minute you made a change to the building, then suddenly all the other things had to also be fixed at the same time. So that's one part of my theory, if you will. The other part of it is that if the code doesn't cover everything, then the kinds of renovations that are being proposed bring with them their own code, new code, not just code while you do something else. It could be new code unique to piping, or new code unique to X, Y, or Z. Those are my two theories on it. I'm sure there's a third part of it that would be, as you said, Mr. Strong would be in a much better position to answer that.
And I did do what you suggested. I did read all this document, and I did write things down of my opinion. Okay.
No, I never thought you would.
So, if you don't mind, I'd like to just talk about the petitions for the gymnasium at Cumberland Head School.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Cumberland Head?
Yeah.
I'm not running this, I'm sorry.
That's fine, go right ahead.
Again, one of my questions was, why wasn't this in the 2007 project? Because they must have needed replacement or considerations at that time.
Priority.
But my other, and this goes back, and I don't ever, you know, I can't remember details from that long ago, but it seems to me when you're doing something with your petitions, that are there new requirements that it either be key operators so that someone is always there when the children could possibly be hurt by those closing doors, or is it that there's a device at each on each side of the gym? I can't recall.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to point out that in this evaluation here, it's got everything in from soup to nuts, as they said. They looked at everything. So to answer one of your questions, some of the issues that were identified in this evaluation were never brought to the district's attention. And secondly,
In the original project? Okay, there was a part.
Only because we subscribed to this extensive evaluation to identify everything that could possibly be identified and put into this survey here. And that's why we're not seeing things that, we're seeing things that we hadn't seen in prior projects, because in other projects, how they initiated was not necessarily from looking at all the district's needs. they were looking at a narrow window and working on a particular project, and also agreeing with the superintendent as far as how code issues have evolved since then. But because they didn't always address the code issues at that time, they were addressing expansions in the building here and there, and doing overbills where codes weren't, that's not what they were looking at. But when we asked Tetra Tech to do a complete evaluation, we wanted to look at everything from soup to nuts and put in everything that we can possibly look at.
And I guess what I'm getting at, or what I'm trying to get at is, for comfort level for me, is if this happened to be on the list, the replacement of those panels for $26,400. Is there a new code that kicks in that once you have to do something, you have to do these devices, safety devices, and have all of those expenses been included in this report?
On this particular line item, gymnasium partitions, it's not listed as a code requirement. It's just a health and safety improvement. All the code requirements are under the title code requirement. And just to quickly say that those are all included in my priority one list to address all the code requirement issues per building.
And I'll just express a concern I have. If my memory is serving me correctly, asbestos costs or possibilities aren't in here. And I know that somewhere in the document, I have it in my notes, but somewhere in the document talked about crawl spaces and that kind of thing. So I think we should go in with open eyes that we would want to know if there's a possibility that if we choose that particular item to be part of our list.
Might it disturb asbestos?
Right. That's a very serious concern I have.
Or in crawl spaces, we know we still have that.
I think just for people who aren't on the operations committee and people who are new, this is like a dream sheet. This is everything.
It's a wish list.
Well, if you go around your building and there's anything that isn't up to par and it's not perfect, and it goes on here. Anything that comes up for, if you have a 20-year life on a roof, well, when that 20 years comes up, it's going to be on here too. So all that, it's all on here. Doesn't mean you're going to do it all. And I'll tell you for sure, this won't be done 5 years from now, not all of it. You see, they got turnarounds for a bus. Well, you might decide you didn't want to put another one. So there's a lot of things here. Doesn't mean we're going to buy it. We're going to pay for them and have them done. So, because I thought that when I first came on, they said we had $22 million in a five-year plan. I said, there's no way we're going to spend $22 million. And we did it. It's just, could you choose to do it? And is it that a priority at the time? So, just because it's on here doesn't mean we have to have it. I mean, like, if you're talking about replacing a door or something, yeah. But, like, say a bus turnaround for $700,000, that isn't a necessity. That's nice to have.
Yeah. Dan, could we get your recommendations so we have some idea what your...
That's what I was going to say. He knows a lot more about it.
Well, he's there.
I do.
That's why I'd like to see what his recommendations are. Can we have a copy of that for us to, when we look at it?
I was hoping we'd have that before we went
through. But one other thing I'd like to have a discussion, because before we go deciding what we want to do, we had talked before as operations committee about upgrading the communications. Do we want to do that or do we not? Because if we do, our choices change. Do we want to go to Wi-Fi or do you want to spend it all on repairs to existing? Because if we don't know that, we're all going to have such a different list, we're not going to be able to reconcile them.
Well, we can see what Dan's got on there for things that really should be done in the next year or so. We'll see how much we have left. I know Gary's got a couple different, well, you've got him in prioritizing order, so.
I just wanted to also add that, you know, when I built the priorities, I'm also under the assumption, as the superintendent mentioned, that a large majority of the other issues are going to be turned over and worked into the five-year plan. So
they're going to need to be worked into the five-year
plan. So when we're set to what needs to be done right here, as far as with the XL funding, I'm only looking at the things that can be available to be completed at XL funding right now, and knowing that if we're going to be setting up projects to complete other things as it turns over, such as roofs or heat systems or whatever be it, on a five-year plan. So that's why my priority list is really not that big.
I understand that, but my issue is that we're looking, you know, if Gary might, I might like Gary to give us a little presentation here on communications, where we're going to need to be down the road? And is there some things that we need to do now that we should look at in conjunction with his list? Like, if his list is $300,000-$400,000 and we've got so much left, I'd like to know so that I know what money I'm playing with.
When I read the report under our main K through 12 building, and item number 19 on page 4 of that section, and it talked about exterior wall reinforcement, that sent a signal to me because I remember a district that had an issue. So again, I'm just pointing out to you, there's an item for $200,000 that I think once this was placed in our hands, I think we have an obligation as a board to address that.
Oh, I don't disagree. What I'm saying is, if we say we have $1 million, and we determine that there's $400,000 and things like that, that's fine. But if we're not going to address the communications issue, we're never going to, because you won't put it in this five-year plan. It won't get done. I'm telling you that right now.
And a part of that, Red, we're going to have to know what the continuing costs are when we put new things in, as Ed mentioned earlier. You've got to know what it's going to cost to support that, because the future may determine what we can afford to do or what we need to do now, because we're going to have to look ahead as we plan all of that.
We need a report. So we're going to need a report from Dan and one from Gary.
Yeah, Gary, basics. What's it going to cost, like, to put in the initial phase of what you wanted to do? You know, the almost 400,000, whatever it was. And yeah, because there's a long list here, it's way over a million. But what's a package to start it, to get us along, get us in the right direction, start to where we want to go toward the road, so that if we can find the money amidst the other things, you know, if the building wall is going to fall down, you got to do that. It's obvious. But it doesn't really say that on here, though. We don't know for sure that if it's structural or is it cosmetic. So that's the hard part of this.
Racing told me it wasn't cosmetic.
Yeah, I know, but that's not something going to fall down anytime soon, is it?
In my opinion, no.
Yeah, but I'm not saying we won't do it, but you see what I'm saying?
Steve, I'd like to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Is that the $650,000 to get us started?
Yeah, if the operation committee members, and I think the board did it the same way twice, I believe.
Right.
There was an ABCD option. Option A, essentially, if you consider the project being a house, that was the foundation that everything else could be built upon. And I believe that you're correct.
Now, if you got that part of it, mm-hmm. you could live with that part of it to build on it later time.
If we got none of it, we could live with what we've got now.
Right.
It just means that fewer things are possible. So, Dan and I are in agreement on this, but there's no hard feelings either way. You know, if the board decides their facility building needs the dollars, then that's the way it goes. This, because our list, our department's list was created at the request of the board and the superintendent to begin with as a wish list.
Yeah.
So none of it has to occur.
But now, we never had anything now on that 650, what the cost would be to keep it going.
Well, we currently have ongoing maintenance and support costs built into the current regular budget with the current systems that we have. Yes, there would be a differential because you're adding a layer to that, but the vast majority of the maintenance and ongoing costs would be very similar to what we have now. And I know similar is not a dollar amount, but it's not wildly out of line with what we're doing now.
Just like going from Starweb to the new ones.
Exactly. It's similar. I mean, we're literally replacing older network switches with newer network switches that have the same type of maintenance cost. The main maintenance cost differential would be for the wireless access point. But even there, I believe this was built into the budget, we were not doing full maintenance on them. We were purchasing additional units. So basically, that's your insurance policy against a unit going down. You've already got a replacement unit in place. So you save the cost of ongoing maintenance for those type of items that don't typically fail anyway, and they're not mission critical. I mean, if you have a core switch that services the whole district and that goes down, everyone's going to know about it in about 2 minutes. But if one wireless access point in the library goes down, Joanne and I will know about it when our laptops start to stop communicating.
So we'll need a
We'll get a report from that committee from both of you guys then.
Just adding to that, if you don't mind, when you make up your lists and your priority, you know, last time we would rank them as what's most important to you down the list. They make a heck of a lot easier for us to come together and say, well, if you think this is important, it must be important, where I don't know about a backflow regulator for nothing. So we could go down both lists and compare and then make a better call, because, I mean, right now, there's so much in there. There's no way we're going to come together.
From top to bottom.
Yeah.
I don't know that there's any point in addressing this in too much detail until it gets...
Right. You're right. Because the other part, some of the stuff... We look at it before, and this wasn't here, and now we need to look at it as a committee, us three, to see what's changed, and maybe we have some recommendations. Because some of the stuff we looked at before...
Well, now we know it's XLA-able, so, yeah, so that's what we didn't know before.
So we'll also probably give you something from the operations committee next time, because we need to look at it again.
After we get the priority list done, yeah, we will have to develop a 5-year plan.
So would you guys rather that we looked at it and discussed it before it was brought back to the board, the priority listing?
It's the same night. Are you discussing it on the 14th?
It's going to be the same night, actually.
Okay. Oh, it's the same night. Oh, so we'll just do it earlier. Okay.
Couldn't you just email that to the whole board? That
oh, definitely.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Everybody needs to get that.
Right. We'll get it at the next meeting anyways, yeah.
But we might have been able to bring it a little bit closer for you.
I mean, when he presents it, he can...
Their presentation won't be until the next meeting. If you want their presentation, put it in the packet, I suppose we could.
Right. Whatever information they're going to provide, the sooner we get it, the sooner we can compare it to
this. Yeah, the sooner we can compare this.
Right.
Okay.
Just quick summary of a great conversation. For the next board update, therefore, for the operations committee and the board, would be a review or a proposal from Dan as to what the priorities would be and what would be the top items to respond to immediately. Within that list, and with Gary's as well, a ranking of some kind of priority that goes includes those, but above those, we talked about tier 1, tier 2, and
right,
level 1,
right,
level 2. Of level 2, what is there sort of a rank order priority? That right, seems to be a desire of the board. And Gary can do the same thing, obviously, with the three. There was multiple pieces to that foundation, and you can do the same thing with that, I'm sure. My final comment on all of that is, at the risk of getting a long groan, it would be a deserved one. Educational leaders and administrators are hardwired in thinking about the tomorrow and what do we need to prepare our students for not the day that we live, but the day they're going to live. So part of our challenge here is recognizing it's a rare opportunity that there is already excess XL money available to speak about the tomorrow. And that's the challenge that gave Gary in even coming forward with the concept of what is best for tomorrow. If we could afford to do it, and that's the question at hand, if we can afford to do it, and we may not ever be able to in the future afford to do it, is now the better time to prepare for the tomorrow, given that we have the money available, potentially the money is sitting there to be decided upon. That's the challenge that he was presented with, which is why you see a proposal originally of, well, you could do this with it, and it would really set us up nicely for the tomorrow that you asked about. Right. That's my only comment.
Okay. Just as an example, one of the things that he brought to the, Gary brought to the operations committee is, like now when you do a computer, and they got to go through every computer and change it for the new year. And then the change comes at the last minute. They have to do it all. One of these programs, you do it on one computer and does it on all of them. And the man hours that would save is ungodly. You know, the money you spend, people, to go through every computer. So, I mean, there are benefits to some of these things that, you know, outweigh the cost.
May I ask, would it be beneficial to the board, not to rehash the whole thing, but to get a list of, in real people terms, what a benefit to these items would be? Because some of them, it really is just technical jargon, not knowing what does this do for us. And I'd be happy to, you know, translate that into whatever would help. Okay. Because honestly, some of it is so high level that I have to think about it in abstract terms for myself.
Spare us that, would you?
Anybody else have any other additional items?
Oh,
Yes.
I placed before you a follow-up letter to a letter that was already in your packet, and the author you can certainly see there. And it's a great response to my original questions that you've already had a chance to look at. The critical issue seems to be the timeline in which I would bring forward to the board a recommendation, whatever that recommendation is, for the board to take action on it. Pretty much has to be the next board meeting. So that the letter is simply drawing to your attention that there is a timeline to even pursue the application, but the window seems to be the next board meeting, go or don't go. So I wanted you to be aware of it, that I would be intending to bring a recommendation, and you would be deciding at that meeting, agree or disagree with the request, right, so that the individual can proceed with the application.
Yep.
And I didn't have this when the packet went out, and I had a good conversation with the author, and I suggested that he made it possible for me to bring it to your attention, and I brought it to your attention this evening. Okay? That was it.
We have another spot for public comment. Anybody like to address the board?
Hello, my name is Paul Wood. I reside at 227 La Plante Road. I have three children in this building. I want to thank the board for everything you do. You're underappreciated. I do appreciate what you do. Also, the teachers and the principal. Nobody ever says thank you. I say thank you. I went to a parent-teacher conference last Tuesday. I was appalled at this building. The heating system in this building is incredible. You go to one room, you freeze to death. You go to another room, room 121, you freeze to death. By all means, everybody go to the computer room, room 121 tomorrow, first thing, all day. Wear a jacket, wear mittens. It's unacceptable, folks. We're talking about basics here. These children and teachers, parents, whoever, visitors to the building, come to this building, you go into a room and freeze to death. It's unacceptable. That's priority one. We heat three quarters of the year here in the North Country. It's not an optional item. Some children don't have heat at home. Okay? They come here for that. All right? We got to have your priorities. Your priority, I'm not saying a room should be 75 by no means. Saying comfortable, no jacket, light shirt maybe. You walk down these hallways and you see teachers and students wearing sweatshirts and jackets, unacceptable inside. All right? You work outside, you expect that. That's fine. These are kids. These are people that are working in an environment that you can't work in. It's unacceptable, folks. Yes, education is very important. New computers are excellent. You can't run a computer if you're wearing mittens. Okay? We got to have priorities, folks. Everybody's doing a fine job. Go back to basics. Step back a little bit. Technology is great. Everybody's going forward in a rush. Back up. We need heat in this building correctly. Not hot in one room, next room's freezing. Room 173, 121, and the choir room. Check them out tomorrow, folks. By all means, wear a jacket. I thank you for your time, board members. Thank you again, teachers.
Thank you. Any other comments? We have no need for executive session, so
I make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
Richard, seconded by Kathy. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed?